open up to John chapter 10. We've been looking for several weeks now at Jesus from the book of John. And the very first sermon I had was called Meet Jesus at the Water Fountain. And I don't know if you remember, you may or may not have been here, but it's the story about Jesus going through Samaria. And he goes to the well in the middle of the day and he meets a woman. Not just any woman, a Samaritan woman, and not just any Samaritan woman, he met an immoral Samaritan woman. And at that encounter at the well, Jesus offered her living water. And it was a beautiful picture. He didn't just offer her water, it was spring water, bubbling up water. And in the beautiful picture of John chapter 4 is this woman who had lived a life of shame and guilt. In Jesus Christ felt forgiveness. And that's a good thing. And then the next week we looked at Jesus being the bread of life. And we talked about how within everybody there is this hunger, this spiritual hunger to know God. And the way that we know God is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way to know God other than through Jesus Christ. And Jesus in that story, after the feeding of the 5,000, or actually 12,000 if you take children and women, he looked at the people and he said, "Listen, I am." And that was the words that were used to describe God. And he said, "I am the bread of life. I am the nourishment of life." And so without Jesus Christ, there is within each one of us an emptiness that is there. So he talked about being the bread of life. And then last week, he said, "I am the light of the world." We live in a world that is darkness. It's a world that is controlled by not just Satan, but satanic thinking. And when you think of Satan and satanic thinking, you think of a devil with horns. But the truth is that satanic thinking or worldly thinking is worldly thinking without Jesus Christ. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we are not just to see the world through the eyes that we have. We're to see the world through Jesus Christ. And so he said, "I am the spring water." He said, "I am the bread of life." He said, "I am the light of the world." And then you get to this morning where he talks about being the door. And this is really cool. I have so enjoyed this week looking in John, because the whole book of John is written to teach you and me about how to have life, eternal life, full life. And this morning he is going to picture life or entering into spiritual life as going through a door. Now, in the Bible, at least 180 times, there is the mention of the word door. Now, it's important to know that in the Greek, especially in this passage in John, the word door can also mean gate. It's either way. And so some of you have a translation this morning that says, "I am the gate." Some of you have a translation this morning that says, "I am the door." The truth is, they're both right. The Greek word means gate or door. It's an entrance way into something. And so we need to know that all through the Bible there's this picture of doors. Now I want to talk to you for just... I'm weird. I got really into doors this week. Okay? There's a lot to doors. How many of you have seen that famous picture of Jesus with a lantern knocking on the what? Door. You know it. I meant to bring ours this morning, but I didn't remember where we had put it. Julie said, "Whatever you do, don't throw that picture away. My grandmother had it," or something like that. But it's famous. Everybody knows about that door. But we need to realize that doors are very, very symbolic, and they have meaning and they have use. As a matter of fact, you go through a door to go from one room to another, correct? It symbolizes a transition. If I go through that door, I go from the worship center to the hallway. Okay? Doors are transition places. Many times in writings, doors symbolize going from one world to another world, from physical world to spiritual world. and it's always through a door. But primarily, a door means an entryway, correct? To enter somewhere, you have to go through, typically, a door. Now, Jesus is using this terminology on purpose. He's going to say, I am the door to life. That's such a cool picture when you think about it. We talk about doors too as being doors to opportunity, or it could be a door to prison. Doors are entryways. They're beautiful pictures of transitions. We talk about God opened a door for me to go through in business, but we also talk about God doing what? Closing a door. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. Now, many times you have driven by a Catholic church, you've driven by an Episcopal church or a Lutheran church, and one of the things that you'll notice is they have a big what front door? Red. A big red. It's full of meaning. You know what it's a picture of? It's a picture of, now you lose this with time because you forget the picture, but it's supposed to symbolize you can't enter into the church except through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So a red door really does have meaning. You enter into the church. You enter into the family of God through what? That red door, which is Jesus Christ. Another thing I found that was interesting, it has nothing of spiritual value to share with you, but I'm going to share it anyway because I found it just extremely interesting. In Scotland, when you pay off your house, you paint your door red. It means you're mortgage free. I like that picture. It says you're debt free. So it's a biblical picture we're kind of seeing here. And in Scotland, but the early Americans, now get this, see, I'm way too caught up on doors and now you think I'm crazy, but it's fascinating to me. In early America, it was a tradition in the early days, if you would welcome strangers into your home, because remember there wasn't a Holiday Inn, there wasn't a place to stay, you would have a red door. And the red door symbolized in early America being open. And so you have all of these beautiful, beautiful pictures of what doors are and what they mean. And then Jesus is going to come along this morning and he's going to say, I am the door. And so it's within a context. It's within an understanding. So I want to read to you John chapter 10, the first 10 verses. Really going to focus on one or two verses in there because we'll be coming next week and looking at a different I am. But you got to understand the context. In chapter 9, Jesus is having problems with the religious people. It's always religious people Jesus had problems with, the Pharisees. And they were ticked off because Jesus healed a blind man. They were upset. And they were concerned because they were asking questions. Was this man born blind or what? But they got all upset and they got so upset with this man because he could see, he had been healed. And guess what? It was on a Sunday. Religious people get upset when their rules aren't followed. But let me tell you something, and I want you to hear me. Jesus didn't follow rules. He made a new way. He made new rules. And so Jesus is talking with them and they're trying to kill him because he didn't follow their laws, their rules. And Jesus, they come to this man and they basically excommunicate him because he is healed. And he actually goes on to say, and Jesus and him met later on, you are the one that gave me sight, and the story becomes about darkness. I mean, about being able to see spiritually and not being able to see. And then he gets to chapter 10, and that's where he has this, because you see, the Pharisees are in chapter 10 in this picture. They're the thieves. They're the ones who want to steal people away from following Christ. Any religious leader, any religious institution, any person who tries to pull you away from salvation in Jesus Christ, scripturally, is a robber and a thief. That's the point. So let's look at verse 1. It's Jesus is speaking. He says, I tell you the truth. Some translations say, truly, truly. It means this is important. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. He's talking about the Pharisees. And then he says, but the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him, and they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. And look at verse 6. It says, those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them this way. Isn't it funny how people sometimes don't get truth? They didn't get the story that he had told them earlier, so he has to kind of help them understand. And he tries to explain to it. So look at verse 7. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. Please understand that the only giver of truth is Jesus Christ. I tell you the truth. I am. Remember, that comes from the Old Testament. He's basically saying, I am God. I am God. He says, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, talking about the Pharisee and religious people, but the true sheep do not listen to them. Look at verse 9. Yes, I am the gate. Yes, I am the door. I love that picture. Those who come in through me, transition from one world to somewhere. Those who come in through me will be saved. That's important. Who you go through determines salvation. And then he says, they will come and go freely and will find good pastures. And then look at verse 10. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. The thief that he's talking about are the Pharisees, the religious people. They were trying to pull people away from following Jesus. But look at the last part of verse 10, and we miss this. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That word life is the word Zoe. Spiritual life, different life. So what are the points to this message? What is Jesus trying to get across to you and me this morning? Well, I've done it different. I want to begin with a question. And I want you to think about your answer to this question. Not my answer, not someone's answer, but which door did you open to get spiritual life? Which door did you open to become a Christian, to be saved? You see, there's all kinds of doors out there. Some of us may not have opened the right door. We may have been confused about what the right door is. And I sat down and I just want to think out loud with you about the different doors you might have opened. Number one, you might have opened the door of what I call atheism or agnosticism. You say, that's a door? Yeah. It's a door that basically says there is no God, so I don't have to worry about it. Or there is a God, but I can't know Him personally, and I don't worry about it. All that matters is that I live life now. That is a door. It's not the one that I would want to go through. It's not the one that I would want you to go through it. But in our world today, there are many people who say, oh, religion is for the birds, Jesus for... there's no God, or you can't know Him personally. That is a door. That's how you handle life. But another door that people open, and it's an incorrect door, but it's a door that I see people open all the time. Even Christians get misled on this, and it's called universalism. That means everybody's going. I don't have to worry about it. Everybody's going. You know, most Americans statistically believe in a heaven. Now, they don't statistically believe in a hell, but they believe in a heaven. And so this group basically says, we're all going to heaven. We're good. I don't have to worry about anything. Because why? I'm safe. Not necessarily truth. Here's another door people open. I don't think about it door. I don't want to worry about it. Who wants to think about dying? I mean, you know, really, I understand that. But the way many people deal with life and death is they don't think about it. It is a door. And they don't usually think about it till it's too late. Or life is running out. But it is a door that people open. There's another door. People open the door as I have plenty of time. I don't have to decide. I have plenty of time. And guess what? You may have plenty of time or you may not. I don't know. Any one of us could die as soon as we walk out of this place. And you don't accept Jesus just out of fear. But many people open the door as I have plenty of time. I'm too busy now. I got work. I got family. It's a door. Another one, I have church membership. I've walked down to the front, you filled out the card, you said the prayer, you've been dunked, you're a member on a row, that's a door. But is it open? I mean, is it the right door? Do you have church membership or have you entered through Jesus? There is a difference. What about being born in a Christian family? That is a door. We are good people. We're church people. Is that going to get you in? Absolutely not. It's not the door. Even though your family is, it doesn't transition like that. You have to make that decision on your own. There's the science door. This one that frustrates me. People love science and said, oh, I just, you know, I'm going to trust in science. You know what? Science ends the moment you take your last breath. Science doesn't measure your soul, your spirit, and the afterlife. So if you're trusting in science, guess what? And I'm not anti-science. I'm just saying it doesn't deal with the door that leads to spiritual life and eternal life. But many people, that's the cool thing to do now. Oh, I just believe in evolution. What does that mean? As soon as you die, it's over. Another one is the good old boy door. I'm just a good old boy. I'm an American. People, being American is not going to get you into glory. Okay? I'm a good old boy. I listen to country music. I go to church. I'm just a good old boy. I'm better than other people. That is a door that people open, but it does not change you. Then there's the works door. It's Jesus plus. I'm going to work hard to help him out. Listen, guys, you can't help him out. That's the whole point of the cross. He did it for you because you can't do it. But many people think, I got to help him out. I got to keep going. The good works door plus Jesus. No. I call this last one the correct answer door. One of the things I've known, our churches have had Awana, and many times those kids have gone through Awana, and I'm not against Awana, but you can have all the right answers and not have Jesus. This is the one that scares me the most. Because we are always trying to find satisfaction in if they know the answers. But answers don't save you. This picture has literally transformed me this week and how I see the spiritual life. It's either Jesus or not. Church is secondary. Church should be important, but it doesn't save you. You enter into the church family through the blood of Jesus, but church membership doesn't give you the blood of Jesus. So what door are you counting on when you die? You may have had another door, but what door are you counting on when you die? And you, here's the one thing we all have in common. Every single one of us is going to die. My goal this morning is to do my best to take religion and ignorance out of the equation. Religion is not going to save you. Ignorance is not going to save you. The only thing that can give you life is Jesus. And it's not a Baptist Jesus, it's not a Methodist Jesus, it's not a Catholic Jesus, it's Jesus. That's the only door. That's the whole point of this story. So let's look at the second thing. Jesus is the only door. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate or the door must surely be a thief and a robber. Now, I've got this picture up here. This is a sheepfold because you know me, I'm not very agricultural, and so I started, what is a sheepfold? Because this is what Jesus is talking about, and these still exist much like this in the Holy Land. It basically was an enclosure, a stone enclosure, and here's the fascinating thing that I learned about this. They don't have a door on these things. It's a community thing, and so like when all the shepherds would come and bring their sheep to the different communities, they would bring them in here, and the sheep would go in, and they would be able to stay there overnight, and it was safe in there. It was a place where they were cared for, and they were protected, and the different shepherds would bring them in, and then a lot of times, if they were in a community, they would hire someone to sit in the gate and keep the bad people out, the robbers out. Because see, the sheep would only go with the shepherd, their shepherd. And so, the picture here is of this man right here. He would be the gate. He would be the door. And Jesus is telling this story in the context of a sheepfold. The only way to get in God's family, the only way to get in to the kingdom of God is through the what? The door. Who is the door? Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the gate. That to me is such an incredible picture of salvation. Jesus came to the people and they were arguing about with the Pharisees about what got them in, what didn't get them in. And he looked at them and he said, listen, the only way to go in is through me. I am the door. I am the gate. People have got this idea that the church is how they get in. They've got this idea that baptism is how they get in, or knowing the right answers is how they get in. But Jesus says, I tell you the truth, I am the gate. And any church that doesn't preach that Jesus is the gate is missing the point. You see, we have made this thing so complicated that religion typically misses the point. The only way for a sheep to be safe is through the shepherd. The only way for you to be safe through life is through Jesus. Once you enter in to the sheepfold, you're okay. You've got the shepherd. The shepherd is the gate. He's the door. He's the one who will provide for you. He's the one that it even says will let you in and out of the sheepfold and will let you graze. He will take care of you. It is the shepherd. It's the door. It's Jesus Christ. If you want spiritual assurance, if you want spiritual safety, it's only through Jesus Christ. Now, here's where we get into trouble. But we have to get in trouble when it's the truth. In Acts 4:12 it says, There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which you must be saved. This is where we get into trouble. Because the world looks at us and they say, y'all are exclusive. Here's the beautiful truth about the gospel. It's inclusive and exclusive. That's beautiful. Jesus says, whoever will come to me will be saved. That's inclusive. Anybody from any kind of a background, from any kind of a past, can be saved. It's inclusive. But the only way that you get saved is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the gate. It's trusting in what He did for you. It's trusting in salvation. I know it's not politically correct, and I don't argue with people who don't want to believe what I believe, but I can't love them and I can't be honest with them if I don't tell them the truth. And the truth is, religion can't save you. God can't save you. Only a relationship with God through Jesus Christ is the way to be saved. That's how you enter the fold. So it makes me exclusive, and I hate that. But if someone was to come to me and want to know how they get in, it would be wrong and criminal for me to tell them some other way than Jesus, because that is the truth according to Him. Salvation can only be... That's why in 1 Peter 3:18 it says this, Christ suffered for our sins. Christ died for our sins. That is beautiful. That's the gospel. Once and for all. In other words, He died for our sins once. That's beautiful. He never sinned, but He died for sins. Why? It tells us in 1 Peter. To bring you safely home to God. Wow, I like that. To bring you safely home to God. Man. He says He suffered physical death but was raised to life in the Spirit. You see, Jesus came for a reason. It was to pay the penalty of our sins. It was to change our life. And we need to understand there's only one door. And I'm sorry if I sound like I'm exclusive. It's not a Baptist door. It's the door, the only door that Jesus ever talked about. It's Him. Third thing. Simple but hard. Everyone must walk in through the door to be saved. I can't do it for you. I can't even make you. It says, yes, I am the gate. Those who come in... I love this picture. Those who come in through how? The gate. Who is the gate? It is Jesus Christ. It says if you come in through the gate, you will what? You will be saved. And then it says they will come and go freely and you will find good pastures. In other words, there's blessing on coming in through the gate. But here's the bad news. I can't make you walk through the gate. I can plead with you. I can pray for you. I can beg you. But only you can walk in. Only you can go in. And the beautiful picture is Jesus is the one you deal with, not me. And the beautiful picture is that you have to take responsibility for this relationship. And the beautiful picture is the only way you're saved from your sin, the only way you're saved from hell is through Him. Do you understand how simple this is? But I think we've missed it. You can have all the right answers, but if you don't go in through Him, you miss it. One entrance into God's family. One entrance into the church. Jesus. He's the gate. He's the door. Interchangeable. You either have walked in... Listen, I can look at this door all day long, but I don't go through it till I walk through it, right? Same way with salvation. You can know this stuff your entire life. But until you walk in, until you receive it, until you accept it, until you surrender to Him, you don't have it. That's not my fault, that's your fault. But my truth is to tell you it's out there. You go through Jesus Christ and life is better. I think we haven't taught people that. And I know we haven't taught this last one. It's my favorite one. Jesus gives us Zoe life. Z-O-E life. Zoe. If I was going to have a tattoo, y'all all looked at me real good. I love that. If I was going to have a tattoo, and that's none of your business if I have one or not, but if I was going to have one, it would probably be Zoe. You say, that's weird. Yeah, but I told you I'm weird. That's self-confession. Jesus gives us Zoe life. The thief, it says in verse 10's purpose to steal, kill, and destroy. Religion is here to destroy His people. Pharisees are here to destroy. Sadducees. But Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying Zoe life. Jesus has a purpose for your life. I wished I would have heard that as a kid. Instead of just hearing it's not going to hell. I get that now, but I didn't know for years that my life became His life, that there was more to it than not going to hell and going to heaven. Jesus has a purpose for your life. His purpose is Zoe life. Now here's the thing, there's three words, and I'm not trying to act like I know Greek. I do know some of it, but there's three words in the Greek for life. There's bios, which means biology. God gives you physical life. You're here this morning because of bios. And then there's the other one that is called, let me see if I get it right here, psyche, which is your soul, it's your spirit, it's your personality, it's your memory. And you were born with a body and a soul, okay? But the Scripture teaches us, before we know Christ, we're what? We're dead. Even though we're walking dead, we're dead because we're dead to our relationship with God. But here's the beautiful thing. In Jesus, if you walk in through the gate, according to Jesus, you have Zoe. You have real life. You have meaningful life. You have authentic life. Now, I was a Christian for many years. It wasn't until I was in college that I knew there was more to the Christian life than not going to hell and going to heaven. I did not know verse 10 for years that God wanted to give me Zoe life, which means God life, spiritual life. Here's another way to picture it. It's a relationship. When God saves you, He gives you a relationship with Him that you're supposed to have from the day you accept Him to the day you die. But I didn't start talking to God till I was in college. I didn't get the Zoe part, the daily part. And you see, when I accept Christ, when I walk in through that door, I have real life. I don't apologize for my life. I love my life. It is Jesus Christ. I just hated that I went all these years not knowing it. The NIV says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You're not really living unless you have Zoe life. And it's not a boring church-going life. It is a life with Jesus Christ, which changes everything. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. What is that a picture? It's a picture of Zoe life. When you accept Christ, the old bad is supposed to go that way, and the new good, fruit of the Spirit, is to be filling your life. That's Zoe life. The Bible doesn't ever talk about a salvation that just... it's for the future. It's always for the now. I love my relationship with Jesus Christ more than I love this church. Why? It's daily. It's a relationship. It makes a huge difference. Galatians 2:20 says it like this. My old self has been crucified with Christ. In other words, when I accept Christ, I die to only be born again. He says, my old life has been crucified with Christ. And then he says this, here's what Zoe life is. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. What is Zoe life? It's Jesus living in you. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. You see, Zoe life is a better life. And I repent of the many years I talked about having the right answers and getting saved and all that, and didn't emphasize that the best thing about salvation is now. A relationship with Jesus Christ that is alive and life-changing. And see, that's why so many times people get saved. I truly believe they believe the right stuff, except they don't know they have something else out there. And that something else out there is a relationship that goes on day after day after day. Zoe life. So it took me to be in college to go, oh my goodness. All I knew was I was going to heaven. I didn't know that He loved me and walked with me through all my problems and stuff. Here's my conviction. You can't be a happy Christian until you understand Zoe life. Because church ain't going to make you happy. Religion's not going to make you happy, but Jesus will. What door did you open? What door will you open? Do you know there's only one door? Will you walk through that one door? And will you have Zoe life? I can't answer that. Only you know. And the beautiful thing is, this is how Jesus presents Himself. I am life. I am the door. So don't think you can find life through another person or a job or money. Because it all comes up short only through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for this beautiful, incredible picture that You are the door. And Father, none of us walk into Your presence, into a relationship with You, other than through You. You are the door. But Father, once we make that choice and once we walk through that door, we don't just have heaven to look forward to. We have joy to know that You're with us right now. God, I repent of the number of people that I didn't help understand that Zoe life is for now. So many people are empty in their relationship, wondering what's missing. And the point is, they have all this potential, but they don't take advantage of it. Father, maybe there's someone here that needs to repent of the wrong door that they've opened for spiritual life. Maybe there's someone here, young or old, that needs to walk through the door of Jesus Christ. Maybe there are some here that maybe have done that, but they're not living Zoe life. They're not living life to the fullest. That can only be done in a relationship with You on a daily basis. Father, help us to have the right door. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm decision.